you have your Bible with you, if you'd like to turn to the small book, the little letter of Jude. It's the second last book in the New Testament. It's only one chapter long. We're going to read just two verses in the book of Jude. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, but please do follow along in whatever version you're following. And we're going to read from Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Amen. The book of Jude is probably one of the most neglected books in the New Testament. I don't know why. The book of Jude has a lot to say about the Christian life. It has a lot to say about the Christian church. And this little letter is very relevant to today. And just for an overview of this book, the book of Jude is a twofold message. It's addressed to Christian people, but basically the whole book, one chapter long, 25 verses, is a warning to Christians against slipping into errors that false teachers were teaching. And in tandem with this is the command of Jude to keep firm and keep a firm hold on the Christian faith. Verse 4, Jude tells them to contend for the faith that they've been given. Jude condemns the false teachers in his letter as men both lacking in understanding and in morality. And Jude outlines the very seriousness of their sin. If you notice verse 12, he calls those people who are sinning against God, those false teachers, he says they are fruitless trees and are doubly dead. And then notice verse 10 as well. These people blaspheme all that they do not understand. And Jude even speaks of angels in verse 6 as being kept in everlasting bonds under darkness until the judgment. And those are very strong words. Jude comes across in this whole letter as very passionate. From those words, we get the sense that Jude is fired up about this false teaching. This is something he does not want the church to hold to. And he's very sure of those false teachers, of what waits them at the end. But as well, equally, he's very sure of the deliverance of God. The deliverance of God has been wrought by God for those believers in Jesus Christ. And as we look at these two verses, verses 20 and 21, we need to keep verse 1, we need to keep it in mind as we look at verse 20 to 21. So look at Jude, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. It's a lovely picture of the Christian life, isn't it? Those who are called, those who are beloved in God the Father, and those who are kept for Jesus. And that's what we need to keep in mind as we look at what Jude then tells the Christians later on at the end of his book. At the beginning he says, remember this, remember you're called, remember you're loved by God, and remember you're kept for Jesus. The letter's about perseverance. That's why I've titled this sermon, Keep On Keeping On. How do we keep on living in a world that is hostile to the gospel? As believers, how do we hold on to the faith in a world that has nothing to do or wants nothing to do with faith? So verses 20 to 21. Jude's main focus in this section is found in verse 21. Follow it with me. Keep yourselves in the love of God. He tells his readers to do other things, but they're all grounded around this command. Keep yourself in the love of God. As we look at these few verses, I want you to keep in mind verse 1, what Jude has told the Christians, and keep in mind that this is what he wants them to do. Keep yourself in the love of God. As I said in verse 1, Jude was reminding the Christians of what they are. He says, you're called, beloved, and kept. But now in verse 20, he changes to the command. He gives us the indicative, what's the statement about us. And then he gives the imperative. He tells us what to do. And that's kind of the reason of the Christian life, isn't it? That we live out those imperatives, we live out those commands as Christians in light of what we are in Christ. So we're called and loved and kept. So Jude says in verse 20, build yourselves up in the faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, wait for the mercy that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God loves us. That's our indicative. That's a statement. Those who are in Christ, God loves us. So our command is then to worship him. There's an imperative with that, that we worship him, that we glorify him. Paul reminded the believers, he says, you've been forgiven in Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. That's the indicative. That's the statement. And then he says, so forgive others who sin against you. That's your command. And that's the Christian life. And that's what Jude comes down to here. He says, remember you're called, beloved, and kept. But keep yourselves in the love of God. Build each other up in the faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to look at this evening. These three things of keeping yourself in the love of God. Build, pray, and wait. J.B. Phillips paraphrases verse 20 like this. Build yourselves up on the foundation of your holy faith. Now you're probably asking yourself, what does it mean to build yourself up? Well, Paul the Apostle uses that same verb, build or to build, in his letters when he is addressing his people. And he says this, like a skilled builder, I laid the foundation and another built upon it. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, he says that the household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being that cornerstone in whom the whole structure is joined together. And then he says later in Ephesians, in him, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That we are being built together, that the believer in Christ is being built together. The word build, the way Paul uses it, means to edify. And the word edify is synonymous with encourage. So Jude is saying, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, you build together. You encourage one another. You edify one another collectively. This idea given by Paul of building is the same picked up here in Jude. He says, build each other up. As God's holy temple, where the Spirit dwells, build each other up. The Christians are to build, encourage, and edify. But Jude tells us what we are to build in. He says, build in your most holy faith. It's important to remember the whole letter. Jude is battling false teachers. So he's opposing those, if you look in verse 19, who cause division. It is those who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. So Jude's contesting against those people who cause division. They're people who don't have the Spirit in them. He says they're devoid of the Spirit. So the Christian is to be the complete opposite. The Christian is not one who causes division, but the Christian is one who has to build, who has the Spirit of God, that we'll later come to see. But his words are very passionate. He doesn't just say, build yourself up in your faith. He says, build in your most holy faith. Jude sees the faith, the foundation of our faith, as something very holy, something very honorable, something to be held in high esteem. Encourage yourselves in your most holy faith. I said at the beginning that J.B. Phillips paraphrases it as building yourselves on the foundation. And that's very helpful because what is the foundation of the Christian's faith? Well, The foundation is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our faith. As the hymn writer says, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is the foundation of our faith. So Jude's writing to Christians to encourage them to contend for the faith and to resist false teaching. So how do we do that? Well, by remembering those indicatives. Remember, we're called, beloved, and kept. But remember the command, the imperative, keep yourself in the love of God. How? By building yourself up in your holy faith. What the Christians were facing in Jude's day is exactly the same as today. We stand against a world who says the faith is nothing, that Jesus Christ can mean anything to anybody, that he isn't the center of everything that we believe. And we face those same things those Christians were facing then. Jude's big idea is keep yourself in the love of God by encouraging one another in what we believe in our most holy faith, and by encouraging one another in what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. Build yourselves up. Secondly, Jude says, in keeping yourself in the love of God, pray. Notice the second half of verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you're probably asking yourself, like I did when I first read that, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Do Christians not always pray in the Spirit? What does it mean to pray without the Spirit? Well, praying is one of those duties. I'm sure those of you who are Christians here, is a duty that's so often neglected. Now, I don't want to be too quick in judging anybody for not praying enough. I read this passage and think to myself, I wonder how well I keep myself in the love of God through praying, through building one another up. But praying in the Spirit, how do we do that? Well, Paul uses that same idea in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. You don't need to turn to it, but he says this. To encourage the believers, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And this is very important because what Paul is saying that is that all prayers should be prayed in the Spirit. There's no special form of prayer that's in the Spirit and that's some that isn't. And we know this because Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. So literally every time you pray, pray in the Spirit. So if we condense it to a sentence, praying in the Spirit is this: pray so that you're guided and moved by God. It's a common theme through Paul's letters that he tells the Christian that the Christian life is lived out through the Spirit. In Galatians he says, walk by the Spirit. In Romans he says, put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians he says, say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. In Philippians, he says, worship God by the Spirit. The Spirit is that controller of our praying. And again, as I was saying at the start, that indicative and imperative, the indicative here is you have the Spirit. Jude wants to remind the believers, pray in the Spirit because you have the Spirit of God living within you. And he's contrasting that in verse 19 about the false teachers. They cause division. People devoid of the Spirit. So we are to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is no special form. It's praying about all things and realizing that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And shouldn't that motivate us to pray? Shouldn't that motivate us to bring all our concerns to God? Knowing that we have that same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ, that we have that same power working within us when we pray to God. Now, Jude is applying this directly to those false teachers and in the environment they were in, those Christians. They were in very difficult times. Things were hard. But I think we can apply this to our own environment as well. We live in a very hostile world. We live in a world that is opposed to the faith. We live in a world that's very difficult spiritually, economically. We're in difficult times. But don't underestimate what God can do through a body of believers praying to him. I'm sure most of you have heard of John Stott, and John Stott was used mightily of God, and John Stott wrote once and spoke about what one of his key things was to being used, one of his key prayers that he prayed every morning to God. And he said he prayed this: "Heavenly Father, I pray that I may live this day in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself." That's praying in the Spirit. John Stott was concerned with his own relationship with God. He was concerned with keeping himself in the love of God. Praying's very difficult. I remember hearing a quote from Spurgeon. Well, I didn't hear it. I read it. But Spurgeon once said, I don't pray longer than 5 minutes. But I don't go 5 minutes without praying. I don't pray longer than 5 minutes. But I don't go 5 minutes without praying. Praying in the Spirit is praying at all times. Knowing that we have the Spirit of God within us. Pray in the Spirit. Thirdly, Jude says, build yourselves up, pray in the Holy Spirit, and then the main command that surrounds it all, keep yourself in the love of God. This is the central exhortation in this series. Keep yourself in the love of God. It's what all the other commands flow into. They're all centered around this theme, keep yourself in the love of God. Some of those Christians had departed from the faith that Jude's writing to, and they departed from the love of God, and they're now under that punishment that Jude reminds them of. And in verse 20 and 21, when he's writing to the Christians, he reminds the Christians of their active involvement in maintaining that relationship with God. Don't get me wrong, I fully believe that we're saved by grace alone. By the grace of God, as Jude says, remember in verse 1, that we're called, that we're loved, and that we're kept for Jesus. But human responsibility plays a role in our relationship to God. Jude says, yes, you're kept for Jesus Christ, but keep yourselves in the love of God. You're kept by God, but keep yourself in the love of God. Think of the people in Israel under the Old Testament. A lot of Christians think today that the Israelites were saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. However, that wasn't the case. It's always been that God has saved his people by grace. The Israelites were taken out of Egypt by the grace of God. And before they had done anything, when God saved them from the Egyptians, he saved them because he loved them. He saved them because of the covenant he made with Abraham. They hadn't done anything to earn his love, but he saved them out of the Egyptians' hands by his grace. And when Moses was at the burning bush, one of the words that's repeated in that narrative is the word saw. God saw the people's affliction. God saw their cries. God acted. His grace moved him to save his people. And then it was after he saved them that he gave them the Ten Commandments. They were always saved by grace, but they were now to live according to that grace, and that's why God had given the law. And the same is relevant here. Even though we're kept by God, we're saved by grace, we're told that grace demands a certain way of living. Keep yourself in the love of God. we have a responsibility. God keeps you, but keep yourself in the love of God. Martin Luther coined that phrase, saved by faith alone. But most people leave out the second half, where he says, but our faith is not alone. God is the keeper, yet the means he uses for keeping us sometimes is our love towards him, is our praying, is our building ourselves up. The Message paraphrases this section, keep yourselves in the love of God, very helpfully. It says this, build yourselves up, pray in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. And that's very helpful. When we build ourselves up and pray, that's what we're doing. We're keeping ourselves in the center of God's love. Faith, prayer, and love. Finally, notice the last thing Jude exhorts the believers to do. The second half of verse 21. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. The false teachers that Jude scorns divide, as we know from verse 19. He says they are devoid of the Spirit, that they are far from the love of God and only have judgment that awaits them. However, the Christians Jude exhorts are to build one another up, are to be filled in the Spirit for praying. And also this, that we have a glorious hope to look forward to. And this is in contrast that Jude ends with in this section, that the Christians have received mercy, but the false teachers have received judgment. And Jude has this last day thought in mind here in verse 21. That this is at the very end of the days, that in this life we're waiting upon that mercy that we are to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. I'm sure you've already worked it out by now, but I like paraphrases of the Bible. I think paraphrases are good. And one paraphrase of the second half of verse 21 says, keep your arms open and outstretched, waiting for the mercy of Jesus. Keep your arms open and outstretched, waiting for the mercy of Jesus. We wait patiently in this life for the Lord's return. And we are to look forward to a day, Jude reminds us, when all will be made well, and we will enter into eternal life. And is that not the heartbeat of the Christian life? The heartbeat of God's people? That our hearts beat for a different land? For a land that is undefiled? A place where God is honored as he should be? A place where death has no sting? Where we rejoice with one another? Where we pray together? Where we're in unity? All because Jesus is alive. All because Jesus has rescued us from darkness. And remember verse 1, all because Jesus kept us through those horrible times, through those times in our lives that were very difficult, that he kept us through those times where we might have slipped out of his hand, where if it was left to us, we would have been out of his hand. But we wait upon that mercy, knowing that we are called by God himself, that we are loved by God, and that we are kept for God, that we are kept for Jesus Christ. So Jude's overarching theme at the end is that we have a reason to keep ourselves in the love of God. Why? Because a bright future awaits those who are kept by God. In conclusion, Jude's writing to the believers is so that they can contend for the faith. He wants them to hold firm to the gospel. He reminds them of their standing as Christians, ones who are called, loved, and kept. But he doesn't leave it there. When he addresses them at the end, he instructs them to keep in the love of God. But he also reminds us of a very stark truth. That this is all true and relevant for those who are Christians. And if you're not a Christian, or worse, a false teacher, then you're not keeping yourself in the love of God. And Jude says, a destiny that awaits those people is absolutely terrible. That if you haven't trusted in Christ, if you haven't come to that realization of the gospel, of what Jesus did, and what demand that ultimately makes in your life, then all that I have said here under those three headings means nothing to you. I remember when I first became a Christian, and people used to say, trust in God. And I struggled with that term, trust in God. Trust, it's a very abstract term. What do you mean to trust in God? What does that mean? Trust in God every day of your life. What does that mean to trust God? Is it trust that I will walk down the street and won't die? Is it trust that he'll give me everything I need? What does that word trust actually mean? And I remember listening to a man being interviewed, a Christian. And he said, trust is this. How do you know you trust God? He said, what does your heart say about Jesus? What does your heart say about Jesus? He says, does your heart treasure Jesus above everything? Do you want to hold fast to the gospel, to the faith, over everything in your life, over your family, over everything that you've been given? Do you still, what does your heart, what do your affections say about Jesus? Do you treasure him as absolutely glorious, everything to you, that there's nothing else? He said, that's trust. Treasuring Jesus above everything. That's how you trust in God. You treasure him above everything in this life. Through everything that you experience, through everything that you suffer, although at times it seems pointless, do you trust in God? Do you treasure him above everything? So if you're not trusting in God this evening, I want to ask you, do you treasure Jesus? When you hear that word, what does your heart say? Does it mean nothing? Are your affections changed? Do you hear the gospel? And do you want to sing to God that he has forgiven you? Or does it mean nothing? Because if it means nothing, Jude says that your destiny is of punishment. But I want to exhort Jude's message to those of us who are Christians, build, pray, and wait. Jude picks up on a very important New Testament theme in these two verses, and it's this: relationships to God, with God, are important. Keep yourself in the love of God. But also our relationship to one another is so important. Build one another up. But in this Christian life, it's about relationships, that we're working our relationships out. We're working our relationship with God, and we're working in our relationships with one another. Staying unified, praying in the Spirit, edifying, encouraging one another. And Jude reminds us that these two both need to be worked at. We need to work together in building one another. Another up, because everybody needs encouragement. We need to pray about all things together in the Spirit. And we need to wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ, waiting for that great day.